The title of the split sermon is, He is not far from us. He is not far from us. Let me see a show of hands. How many of you are dog lovers? Wow, look at that. Congregation full of dog lovers. My wife and I are dog lovers. Not like some dog lovers who actually kiss their dogs. I've seen that. But dog lovers nevertheless. Currently, we are the proud owners of a male and a female Pembroke Welsh Corgi. If you're not familiar with the Corgi breed, they are one of the smallest working dogs in the herding group. They typically will herd poultry, like geese, sheep, even cattle. They have really short legs, which helps them avoid being kicked by animals as they are herding them. I've brought a small plush corgi for you to see. That is a corgi. This is a two-color corgi. We have one like that, and then we have a tricolor that has black on it as well. And this corgi is going on the stage for some child to get later in the feast. Now, corgis are famed for being the preferred breed of Queen Elizabeth II, who has owned as many as 16 at one time. These dogs have been favored by British royalty for more than 70 years. Our male corgi is named Winston, after Winston Churchill. And this was my wife's choice. Since Queen Elizabeth raises corgis, it seems natural to name one of our corgis after the famous British Prime Minister. Just like many of us, Queen Elizabeth is a dog lover. A few years ago, I was reading an article about her visit to Canada. One event during her visit was to meet some outstanding service dogs. A service dog, of course, is a type of assistance dog specifically trained to help people who have disabilities, including visual or hearing impairment, and also to help people with mental disabilities, including post-traumatic stress disorder or severe depression. Some dogs are even trained to help with medical conditions, such as recurring seizures and diabetes. Over the years, I've had a number of students, I'm a teacher, in my classes, who depend on service dogs. Now, what got my attention in the news story was that as the Queen was walking around meeting the various service dogs, she stopped to look at one dog that was sound asleep. Here was the Queen of England standing before this service dog, and the dog was completely oblivious to the fact that he was in the presence of royalty. Now, as I thought about this article, I realized that this is similar to people who are not aware that they are in the presence of God continually. Just as that service dog was unaware of the presence of the Queen, Often we go through our daily life unaware that we are constantly in the presence of royalty, the Creator God. The Bible has many examples where individuals forgot that they were constantly in the presence of God. A famous example in the Old Testament is that of Achan. We read about this in Joshua chapter 7. Achan took a beautiful Babylonian garment, some gold and some silver, and hid them in his tent. Now, no human was aware of this. However, God saw what he did, and the result was the death of Achan. We read this in Joshua 7, verses 20 through 25. You might want to read along. Joshua 7, verses 20 through 25. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, yes, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. A famous example in the New Testament is that of Ananias and his wife Sapphira. They also forgot that they were constantly in the presence of God. In Acts chapter 5, we see how they kept back part of the proceeds from the sale of their land, thinking that they could lie to Peter and hide this from God. Peter informed them that they were not fooling God. In verse 4, Peter said, "You have not lied to men, but to God." And the result was that both Ananias and his wife dropped dead. Now, there are many scriptures which tell us that we are constantly in the presence of God, and that he is aware of our every thought and action. Yes, he's aware of what we allow into our minds, such as lust, covetousness, hate. That's why we must always be guarding our minds. Satan wants to plant filthy language, lust, bigotry and hatred into our minds using books, the internet, R and X rated movies, TV shows. We must always be aware that we are in the presence of God and that he knows our thoughts as well as our actions. When Paul was speaking at the Areopagus, Mars Hill, in Athens in Acts 17, Verse 27, Paul declared the following. Acts 17, verse 27. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. And notice this, though he is not far from each one of us. Yes, God is never far from each of us. In fact, the reality is that we are constantly in his presence. So in the time remaining, I'd like to review from both the Old and the New Testament numerous scriptures which tell us that we are constantly in the presence of the sovereign of the universe. Pretty sobering. Being reminded of this should sober us deeply and also encourage us. We need to be sobered, recognizing that any evil thought or deed will be known to God. We can be encouraged, knowing that every good deed and every prayer will also be known to God. First, I want to point out that we are in God's presence in two ways, individually and collectively. When we attend Sabbath services or come to the feast, we are coming into his presence collectively as his church. Please turn and we'll read Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 4. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. The word convocation is the Hebrew word M-I-Q-R-A, pronounced mikra, which is number 4744 in Strong's Concordance. It is a sacred assembly of God's people. It is when God's people are set apart from others who are in the world. Although the assembly is a group, God is very much aware of each individual attending in that convocation. God is even aware of the offering each individual brings and the attitude of the heart as that offering is given. Mikra can also mean a summonsing, just as one might be summoned to appear in a court of law. So God summons his people to appear before him as a congregation at his appointed times. The Hebrew word can also mean to read, as in reading aloud. In this meeting, it indicates that God's people are assembled to hear God's word read aloud to them. Of course, that is exactly what happens in each Sabbath and Holy Day. We read the Bible and expound the word of God. So these convocations can be thought of as God's classes, training his people in his word. As a professor, I have appointed times when my classes meet for instruction or exams. I expect all the students to appear before me at these appointed times. I even take attendance and know who is not there. However, I also have one-on-one interactions with students apart from classroom time. And the same is true with our relationship with God. We appear before Him in holy convocations for worship and training, but we also are trained and interact with God one-on-one through prayer, Bible study, and other study activities such as reading booklets and articles or watching the Beyond Today television programs. However, unlike a professor with his students, God knows not only what we say and do, but also what we think. We will see from the following scriptures that God knows our very thoughts, as well as our words and actions. Turn over to Psalm 94 and we'll read verse 11. Psalm 94 and verse 11. Here we see very plainly that God knows our very thoughts. Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Proverbs 15, verse 26. Proverbs 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Isaiah 66 and verse 18. Isaiah 66 and verse 18. And notice this carefully. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Psalm 139, verse 23. Psalm 139, verse 23. Here the psalmist writes, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Jeremiah 17 and verse 10. Jeremiah 17, 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. To have the love of God in our hearts, we are to think no evil. And this is clearly stated by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and 5. Here Paul writes, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked. Notice this, thinks no evil. Jesus could tell when those confronting him were thinking evil thoughts. Turn over to Matthew 9 and we'll read verse 4. Matthew 9 and verse 4. The scripture is very plain. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" Pretty plain. Luke 5, verse 22. Luke 5 and verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?" You see, God is very aware of the words each of us speaks. Over in Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, let's read that. Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. To me, this is one of the most sobering scriptures in the Bible. "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." Wow. "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." From the multitude of verses regarding the words we think in our heart, it is a sure bet that we will not only be judged by the words that come out of our mouths, but also the words we think but don't speak. Regarding the thoughts of those considered wise in this present evil age, Paul says that their thoughts are futile. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 20. Again, Paul writes, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in their own craftiness.'" And again, and notice this, "The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." Recall the saying, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Over in Galatians 6 and verse 7, Galatians 6 and verse 7, we read this warning. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. The law of sowing and reaping has often been quoted in the form of a warning." It can certainly be a warning for those who are thinking and doing wrong. However, to the Christian who is living a life of sacrifice and obedience to God, the law of sowing and reaping presents a message of wonderful encouragement. The message of encouragement is simple and straightforward. If we sow good things, we will reap good things. In other words, in the long run, God will reward those who think and do right. However, to believe and to live by this requires true faith. You must believe that there is a just God and that He will reward those who diligently seek Him and obey Him. Those choosing to suffer affliction from the world in the short run in order to receive the reward in the long run evidence this kind of living faith. But how can we be sure that God will be aware of the good things we think and do, our good sowing? In Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24, we see the answer. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. In other words, we are always in the presence of God. Christ also gives us positive assurance of our reward. We read that in Matthew 10, verse 42. And turn over to Matthew 10, and we'll read verse 42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth. Here's the truth. He will certainly not lose his reward. God is aware of our good works even when no one else is. Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31. Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31 tells us plainly how our sovereign God is not far from each of us. Matthew 10, beginning in verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. If God knows the number of hairs on your head and the fate of each sparrow, He certainly is aware of all we are thinking and doing. In Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, we read the following. He counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. I have a lot of trouble remembering names. My wife's great at it. God can remember billions of stars by name. Think about that. He calls them all by name. Great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Wow. Scientists tell us there are billions of galaxies, and most with billions of stars in each galaxy. God knows them all by name. Brethren, our God is far, far greater than we can even imagine. Too many think God is like a man, but that is totally wrong. God is not like any man. Let's read Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Here, it tells us plainly. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he spoken and will not do it? Or has he spoken and will not make it good? Therefore, let us be constantly aware that we are in the presence of the infinite, sovereign Creator God. God's sovereignty, his supreme authority and rule, is over everything in the universe. There is nothing that escapes his knowledge. As we read, his understanding is infinite. He hears each one of us when we pray. Have no doubt, he knows our every thought, even when we pray silently. Christ made it very plain in his teaching that sin goes beyond mere physical acts. One can sin in one's mind. For instance, not only is adultery a sin, but just lusting in our minds is a sin. Murder is a sin. But hating someone is murder committed in the mind. You know, it's so important that each of us understand this and guard our minds from the evil thoughts and words Satan wants to plant in our minds. Also, let us be modest in our apparel so as not to invoke lustful thoughts in the minds of others. During this wonderful feast, let each of us sow good thoughts. Let each of us follow the words of Paul in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Let's turn and read that. I'm going to read it in the modern English version. Philippians 4 and verse 8 in the modern English version. It says, "Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise," notice this, think on these things. It's in the mind. Each of us is in the presence of God continually, and he knows our every thought and action. So don't be like the service dog in Canada, asleep and unaware of your presence in royalty.